This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, you know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833.
All right, about to start a Bobbycast with Matt, the lead singer from Parmalee, who they got a bunch of songs, and I heard him play a song at their live show. We were playing a show together in California, in Bakersfield. So going to talk with him in just a second. Let me remind you of a couple of things. We really have a few great podcasts here on the Nashville Podcast Network. Obviously, Amy has her 4 things with Amy Brown, which is pretty much from, you know, mind and body and entertainment. Like, it really is fitness. Like, it is a, for you ladies out there, it even for some of you dudes, I guess. But I would imagine hers is probably like 98% female.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called 4 Things with Amy Brown. Check that out. We brought a new podcast onto the network that is doing fantastic. It is called Get Real with Caroline Hobby, and it's so good, which is why we pursued her. Wait, I think she came to me, but I was going to, I don't know how that happened. Now that I think about it,
it oddly happened at like the same time.
Did it?
Yeah,
because Eddie brought me a podcast that she had done with her and Caroline Bryan, Luke Bryan's wife. And it was like, this is so good. And I remember going, we should reach out to her, see if she wants to actually come on the network and get some promotion and listens. And then she hit me at the same time. So I don't really know. It's like a breakup when you don't know who broke up, but it's the opposite. So check out Get Real with Caroline Hobby. It is awesome. And if you're into sports, the guys, Eddie, Ray, Lunchbox, they have a daily podcast that's about a half an hour. That's called The Sore Losers. So all of that. I'm on Instagram, Mr. Bobby Bones, if you want to follow me. But we do have a Bobbycast Instagram too.
Yeah.
Which is at...
By Bobbycast. The Bobbycast.
At the Did someone have Bobbycast, or we just decided to use that one?
I think someone had, or it, just to match up with our Twitter.
Oh, the Bobbycast?
The Bobbycast.
At the Bobbycast. Thank you so much. By the way, Eddie and I are band The Raging Idiots, going on tour this summer. RagingIdiots.com. As soon as we have it, we'll put it up there. And I think by the time people hear this, well, at least on Thursday of this week, Jesus Knows, our new single. Is out. So thank you very much. And here we go with an episode with Matt from Parmalee. Hey, welcome to episode 173 of the Bobbycast with Matt from Parmalee. How you doing, bud?
Good, man.
So hey, what have you been up to today? It's what is it, Wednesday?
Yep.
What do you do on a Wednesday?
Okay, I got up. I went for a run. We have a nice park out by my house, so I always get up and go run, kind of get my thoughts together. I went and got my truck from... downtown. I left it at Sony last night because I went out, so I was Uber back.
Oh, like you went out like on the town?
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah, well, just for a little bit.
Who said that since the 50s?
A night on the town.
A night on the town
sounds good. And then not here, pretty much.
You can go run. That's how you clear your thoughts, is running.
Well, try. So yeah, I can.
Here's me every time I'm doing any sort of physical activity, and I try to exercise every day. I have a couple gyms in town, you know, like, so fitness is a big part of my life. But this is me every time I'm doing anything, exercise or fitness. My mind does this. This sucks. How many minutes left? This sucks. How many minutes left? This sucks. That's all it is. There's no getting my mind right when I do that. And I wish I could run and kind of clear my mind.
I that runner's clarity, I've heard that's the thing. And I know when I hit it, and I'm like, okay, I'm thinking right, you know. But I'm sure you have way more on your mind than I do in my mind.
You know where I find my best clarity is in the shower.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, like, I just kind of relax. And I get some of my best ideas come either when I'm in the shower or when I'm asleep. If I do hit that odd, rare REM cycle where I'm sleeping so hard, and I'll ask you this in a second, but our biggest kids song that we ever wrote, I wrote half of while I was sleeping. I woke up and grabbed my phone and was like, when I grow up, I can be, and I recorded it, and I didn't think anything about it. I woke up and I was like, I think I sang it on my phone last night, and I sent it over to Eric Pasley.
Wow.
And yeah, this is it. And then he was like, let's write that thing. And we wrote the freaking song. And so when people say, I used to think they were full of crap. I mean, like, you slept and you woke up and you wrote it. Come on. I did. Those are my two places.
I've had great songs come to me. It seems like a dream. I have a great song. And I wake up and I was like, I had a great song and I can never find it. And that's like one of the worst things to wake up. And I remember dreaming of this great song and this melody. Sometimes I have some voicemails, though, from when I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm, you know, try to do it, but my voice memos are bad. A lot of me mumbling or trying to sing way too high.
But that's it, though. The mumbling is a big part of it. Like, you have to kind of walk through the swamp of voice, because I'll do that with jokes sometimes. I'll go, all right, I got to really, and I'm still working on this joke that I don't have. It's still not done, but I'll kind of tell you the gist of it. And the worst thing you can do is share the gist of a joke, because it's not funny. And one day it will be a joke, but I have this joke because I went to a club and somebody came up and offered me a tamale.
Okay.
And I was like, man, I haven't been to the club in a long time. I can't. That's not funny. I feel so stupid even telling. But the point is, the person had offered me Molly. Oh. But I was so out of the club scene that I started to think, I'm so removed from the clubs that tamales are happening.
You're thinking
now.
Of food, man.
Yeah,
you're like me.
The clubs are cool. I need to come back to the club if they're just handing out tamales.
Yeah, right.
So it's such a terribly written joke inside of my voice memo. That if I were to play it, and I just kind of did a little bit, talk it back, it isn't all that good. But there's something there. It's probably like when you write your...
It's a good story, though. I mean, the story's a funny story. Like, we try to tell funny stories, just jokes are better, though, I feel like.
Jokes, if they don't laugh at the end of a joke and you're on the stage, it feels stupid. If they don't laugh at the end of my story, I just go to the next story. And also, I didn't charge them to hear the story.
Stand-up has got to be the hardest job.
That's why I'm not good at it.
Creatively on earth. I mean, I couldn't imagine having to... You know, stand up there by yourself and tell a joke that you came up with hoping somebody's going to love it.
You pull out the phone and just, you know, like diddle titles or.
Yeah. All the time. A lot of times I hear people say stuff and I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, I never heard it said that way.
I do that too. And I often wonder if I should tell them because I'll hear things.
Because you feel
cool,
like you should let them in on it.
And I'm like, that's a really great concept for a story or a joke or a song, and should I credit them or will they just not even remember in 3 months whenever I put something out?
Man, that's a tough one, right?
Because it's not intellectual property. They just said it.
I feel like you always have your listeners out, your antenna that you're always listening to everything, and so it's up to you to pick that stuff out from what's around you.
Yeah, there's a little bit of guilt, though, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I do too. I had a title, we started writing a song, and I was like, wait a minute. And my tour manager was like, yeah, I was talking about that last night. I was like, all right, your own song then, because you're right, because I had you.
Well, if they know, you have to let them know.
Yeah.
Let me play a little bit of Carolina here to get started. Man. Here we go. She feels like Carolina, looks like California, shiny like those New York lights on Broadway. And this was the song that made you guys an overnight success.
Overnight, man. I mean, we wrote that in 2007.
And when did it finally hit?
Pretty much, it went number one at the end of 2013. So, what did it say at the top of 2014? So, 7 years after that was when it really had its impact.
So, what's the, from, you know, conception to it's where we are now, or even when it was number one? Like, what is that whole process? Because you write it, and does it sit for a while, or do you try it for a while?
This song was, it's so crazy how this song happened. And we had it as we'd been holed up in our studio in Greenville, North Carolina, writing as much as we could. We couldn't find that, you know, everybody was kicking the tires with us. Like, you're not really, they were trying to get us to do this active rock thing. And like, we just couldn't do it, you know? And they were like, well, you're too rock for pop and you're not country. You're too country for rock, but you're not really country. So we were just in this wheelhouse of nobody would sign us. We didn't know what to do. But, so we had these demos, and Carolina was one of the songs we had started. We did a showcase. A guy from Atlantic came down. We knew he wasn't going to sign us.
Guy from New York, Atlantic Records?
No, Atlanta. Atlanta.
Okay.
I think we were in Charlotte doing a showcase, and the guy, his name is Kim Stevens, he came down. And I knew he wasn't going to sign us. You tell, you know, because we've got turned down so many times. I knew. I was like, what would you have us do? He said, well, I'd have you go work with Rick Beato. I was like, well, who's Rick Beato? He said, well, there's this producer guy in Atlanta that I know that does some records. I'd have you go work with him. It's like, cool, man, thank you. So I got on the phone Monday. I'm like calling up Rick. Hey, Rick, what's up, man?
I'm a big fan, Rick. It's me, yeah. Matt.
Like, we're this band Parmalee. We're going to come see you. So Barry and I flew down, and we had this CD of songs, and we played him a bunch of songs, and that was one of them we had halfway finished. And we're like, you want to finish it with us? He's like, yeah, come on back. We'll do three songs, and we'll come back in the studio. And we wrote it in there, and I remember the guy that was financially backing us, he had some trouble. He had to bail. I went to my mom. She mortgaged her house to pay the $11,000 we owed Rick for those three recordings.
Is that right?
So we ended up owning the Carolina, that master or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, like, it was just pins and needles all the time. But then we put it out 2008 on this little compilation CD. And it was a hit regionally. Like, it did us well. We knew, okay, this is
on what format? Was it country playing it or was
nobody was playing. I meant like as a regional band with the CD out, people were showing up. We're putting 800 people in a club, yeah. You know, and they're singing that song. And I knew when I heard it, I was like, this is what we've been looking for. This is our sound. This is our song. And anyway, so that happened. And then, you know, just like everything else, that couldn't get signed off of it. And then, you know, you go through your ups and downs. And 2010 or in the nine, this country artist was coming out with it on this record label out of Greenville, South Carolina. So they put it all, everything behind him.
So it was a different artist was going to cut your song?
Yeah,
He did cut it.
It did. It was Benton Blunt. He's from North Carolina. And his label, my manager at that time was working with his label. I hope I'm not getting confused with this stuff. So Benton came out with the song. Hell, I did the artwork for the CD for him because we just knew the same people. And he did this country version. And that was like in the top of 2010. So we knew, you know, we wrote this song, Carolina, this country artist is coming out with.
Just sit right here?
Yeah.
Let me hear some of this. And I hate to see her cry when I'm leaving, but I'm 1,000 miles away again, and she feels like Carolina. Actually a pretty cool version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they almost signed Benton at Broken Bow,
where you guys are,
off of that song.
Really?
And then Tina, our girl that's there, she's like, told John, she's like, no, these are the guys that really wrote it, you got to check them out. So we go out to Nashville, and Benton, fortunately that label folded and they just shut down, so we had the song again. And this was like we were out during the Songwriters Festival, May or whatever it was, living in our RV in the parking lot of the old across from Tin Roof, which used to be the Comfort Inn, Shoney's or whatever it was. So we just drove our RV out here, and we're like, we wrote this song. We're the songwriters. Who wants to write with us? Of course, nobody was in town. Nobody cared to write with us. We're just nobodies. But that's how we met. We met David Fanning, our producer, with New Voice. We were in the part. Our buddy hooked us up. So we met Fanning. He heard our song here, Carolina. We wrote Must Have Had a Good Time in the RV in that parking lot while the flood was happening in 2010. And then he took us to the other guys that were the production team of New Voice, which is Jason Aldean's band, Tully and Rich and Kirk. And they had this deal with Broken Bow where they got to bring in an artist. And so they gave us a production deal, and we went in, came back in July, and we cut Carolina, the version you hear, and Must Have Had a Good Time all back. That all happened at one time. And then that was July. And then in September, as we were coming out here, that's when Scott got shot.
And that's, he was in your band. And we'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, that's such a crazy, that story is so crazy. Where
and we can go in depth for that. I'm cool, man. You know,
yeah?
Whatever. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder with that, because the story is nuts, but you know, I've gone to the doctor a bit with some PTSD type stuff. Did you guys have that from this?
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I don't sleep well still. Because I got jumped and gunned in my head a few times. I've had a few
I heard you talk about that. It's horrible.
So kind of let's start. Like, I've never heard the story before.
Yeah. Okay.
So you guys are where?
We are in Rock Hill, South Carolina on a Monday night at a little dive bar called The Money. And it's we are doing pickup shows. We had just kind of got our, like I said, we had the production deal out here with New Voice. We were going to finally get a record deal. We're coming to Nashville. We're kind of switching gears over to this mindset. So we're doing shows. We have a Monday night, we have a Wednesday night, and I think we have a Thursday and Friday. You know, just practice shows to kind of stay, learn new songs and do stuff. So it's a Monday night, we're playing. I think we had, you know, maybe 25 people showed up, maybe. And we got paid $15 that night. I remember the guy came and, you know, I don't even know why you're here. You know, we're like, we're practicing. We're just, we want to keep wheels turning, you know. And so Barry and Josh are, we finished the show, Barry and Josh are in the club. Scott and I are on the RV with the, there's a sound guy that was there that night, was just hanging out. We had just got the RV, like, check this out, man. Here's some new songs.
By the way, Scott is?
Scott's my brother, yeah. And so Barry's my first cousin, and Josh is our best friend, so to put the characters in play. And
Scott's the drummer.
Scott's the drummer, right. Yeah. My brother's the drummer. And so Scott and I are just out in the RV and having a good time and hanging out. And, you know, we're happy. We're excited. Things are good. And get a knock on the door. And I go to answer the door. And I'm like, hey, what's up? Because I thought it was Barry and Josh. And that's when there's a gun to my head. Mm. Two dudes in blue bandanas. And give me your cash. And I'm like, back up, you know. And then you got to understand, this RV is it's got the steps to get up to the floor. It's not like a tour bus, you know. It's a side door, steps to go up. So, you know, give me your effing cash. Gun to my head. And I'm like, whoa. And there's one dude standing in the doorway. And this guy with the gun at my head. And immediately, you know, I'm backing up. And I'm, Scott, I need some help. And, you know, then he goes, give me your effing cash. And he fires the gun off.
Oh, he actually shot it.
Oh, yeah, he unloaded. And, you know, I mean, imagine being in a trailer.
Where did what direction did he shoot?
He was, so if you were me, I'm facing, he shot kind of.
Just to the side of me.
Just to the side of me, down into the side, into the floor of the RV. I remember seeing the bullet hole down there later on. But, yeah, give me your effing cash. And then it was like, you know, automatically shock sets in because you're freaking out and deaf. And then Scott came out from the back, and luckily he was a concealed carrier. He had his pistol with him in his bag. He had to chamber a bullet as all this was going on too.
So yeah, does he know a bit what's going on, and is he already grabbing his gun before he walks? Like,
oh, he sees it, he hears it happening, and for some reason he's that kind of person where he's always, I mean, hell, that's why he had his gun with him. That's why he had his concealed carry, because he's always thinking, well, somebody might try to jack us or this, that, and the other, and it actually happened. And so as I'm, you know, asking him for help, hey, Scott, I need some help up here. He chambers a bullet and walks to the front, and he puts his sight on the first guy who's got the gun at my head, fires at him several times.
Does he hit him the first time?
Yeah, he hits him every time.
He does.
But, you know, he's got a 9, you know, which is smaller gun,
right,
more rounds, obviously. He moves to the second guy, shoots him twice.
So the first guy, does he go down immediately and doesn't fire off?
No, he's firing off.
He's
that's
firing
the thing. And,
and
how I didn't get hit, or the sound guy didn't get hit, is...
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. He's so close to you, I can't imagine if he's shooting how he doesn't shoot you.
I guess he was... His hand, left hand is out like this, and he's unloading this way, and I'm in front of him. And Scott's over here, so that's how Scott got shot 3 times. He got hit in his one through his stomach, and then one in his over right over his heart and his chest, and then the money shot was the one that got hit in his butt. It hit his femoral artery and spliced it.
Of all 3 shots, the one in his butt's the one that got his freaking artery, like that close to his heart.
Oh,
his
dude.
Butt shot's what got him.
Got him, man. And he laid down. I mean, he laid in. Pretty much bled out on the couch right there in front of me.
It's the second guy who got him?
Say what?
It was the second guy who shoot.
The first guy
as he's getting shot. He actually hit Scott as he was being shot?
Yeah, he hit shot, somehow shot, you know. I'm
just assuming, spraying.
You know, you pop, 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 you know, but I could have easily been, it could have swung the gun this way.
Right.
I feel like, you know, who knows? I mean, it's just all a blur, you know, when it's all happening, and he's laying down on the couch just bleeding out, and he's like, oh, they got me. Luckily, there was a cop at the McDonald's right beside the club and I think he heard the gunshots. And so it was immediate, like, response team there. And Barry, he said somebody came in there. They were telling him, hey, man, y'all need to come out for shoot fireworks out here or something. He runs around the back of the RV, and the second guy is laid behind the RV, passed out, because he wasn't dead, but he was laid out.
The second gunman.
Well, he didn't have a gun. He had a knife, I think. He was with him, but Scott hit him twice. So he fell down outside the RV. The other guys did. The first guy that had the gun. And so, yeah, and then they had to obviously called in the helicopter in. They took him immediately away. And, you know, you want to talk about all this happened. You know, it happens like 5 minutes.
Yeah, and what I like about my situation, I can tell the story for an hour, but it happened in like 70 seconds.
Where were you at?
A couple times. Well, my first time, I was going to a radio event, and I was up at an ATM, and the guy, I don't know if he knew it was me or not, but he was like, how much money you got in there, white boy? And I was like, and I had my ATM. I was broke, too. I didn't have any. I wish I would have had money. Because it had made the whole thing easier.
Yeah.
Because I would have just given them the freaking money.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I don't know. For me, it slowed down so much. He pistol whipped me. There was never a shot, but I didn't feel it. He went wham and hit me so hard that it jarred my body. And I remember feeling it all the way into my knees because my knees hit together. But I went, wow, I didn't even feel that because your adrenaline.
Oh, your adrenaline's just crazy. Yeah.
And so, I didn't have any money. And I said, hey, man, I have like $19 to my name. I will give it all to you, but you got to take the gun off of my head. So he takes it and he goes, I'm not going to, boom, pops me again with it.
No way.
And so I don't remember my number. Like all this is happening, I don't remember my PIN number.
Oh, my God.
And it's pretty helpless because there's nothing I can do because I don't have any money. I would give it to them. I can't remember my PIN number. And so he takes the gun and shoves it in my head. And the girl that I was with at the time, she grabs my wallet and puts it underneath her seat. She's freaking out too. But somebody comes around the other side with a gun, hits her window, puts the gun up to her head. You know, and they just wanted money.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had no money.
Yeah, well, neither did we.
Yeah.
I made $15 that night.
I didn't give them whatever they wanted. I don't want to get shot or die.
Yeah.
But I mean, all that happened so quickly. On your situation, like Scott gets shot and the helicopter takes him out. I mean, what are you thinking?
Oh, dude.
Was he conscious?
Well, last time I saw him, he was laying on the couch. He's saying, it burns, it got me, you know. And then I had to go down to the police, you know, station to answer some questions. And then, I don't know, we come back and you know, the RV's there, there's blood everywhere. We had to call a family, which was a Monday night. You got to call your mom at 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, most horrible thing ever.
While he's still in the hospital, obviously, and is not doing well.
Well, that night, man, we had to, me, Josh, and Barry, he had this little Ford Ranger. We all hopped in and we had to drive to Charlotte because they got him to Charlotte's Medical Center. And we had to drive that truck from about an hour, I guess, into Charlotte. All the while, didn't know anything, you know, nothing was going on. We didn't know anything. And we go and then we had to find out where he's at, you know. We finally get to the emergency room, waiting room, and we see the other kid, his parents are over there. You know, immediately you're like, it's weird.
Yeah, because I bet you're torn in that these dudes just tried to kill, steal.
Oh, yeah.
All of that. And then but it's also their parents who probably didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
The parents didn't do. Yeah, that's a weird thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're torn, and then you finally get to see the doctor, and he's. I mean, literally, he took us back, and he's going, and he's just shaking his head, walking in front of us, and he's like, "Boys, I'm gonna tell you." He's like, "Most of these are about a 5% chance of living. They gave him 5% chance to live. Most of these situations. So." Man, so we're following him back there, and he's just going, phew. I mean, when the doctor's doing that. So,
yeah, right.
And the whole time I'm thinking, like, Scott's pulled through. He's going to pull through. He's strong, you know, we'll get it, you know. But it didn't know anything about what was happening. You know, he had had bled out twice already. He was in a coma for 10 days, had, like, 3 different surgeries, kidneys failing. I mean, the worst part was he had to do this procedure called a fasciotomy, which is where they go in and they fillet your in his situation, the calves, which is his kick drum, you know, foot. And they put these wound vacs on that suck out the lymphatic fluid. And you have these bags and it's just, you have to change the wounds and all. So, you know, from day one, it's like, okay, well, he's definitely not going to be able to use that foot again. And then, or he's going to lose the leg.
Well, at what point did you realize he was actually going to live, though? Because
probably
it's your brother, it's your friend, and your bandmate next. Lastly, you know, he's your brother and friend first.
It was day to day for 10 days until he came out of the coma. You know, it was like, oh, he made it through this thing. If this happens, this can happen. If this happens, this can happen. If he can get through, if he's had one more day, we got to pull the trach out. Not, we got to do a feeding tube and all this kind of stuff. So it was always pins and needles. We got to do dialysis if it got to keep it going. If his kidneys don't kick back in, he's going to have a bag. You know, it was all these things that were for us just like day to day pretty much. And then on top of that, you know, we had to go get outfits because I assume the guys were in gangs. I'm not sure, but there was one point where their crowd was over here and getting on the elevator and they're like, look, that's them. And so,
oh wow,
there's that in the hospital. At one point they rolled this kid in front of me and I'm sitting in the hallway in the chair waiting, you know, how many days, and they roll this guy here and it's him. It's the other kid.
They didn't separate you guys?
They didn't.
That's odd.
They didn't.
It's almost common sense.
They didn't have metal detectors in the hospital either, so we were all we were locked down. We had people standing guard at each door because we didn't want somebody to go in and stick him. You know what I mean? You just never know. When something like that happens, you go into like defense mode and you're like thinking crazy stuff. And
you guys were literally just playing a show at a club.
Yeah. And then we're here for 40 days, you know.
And now you're worried about someone walking in or just doing something bad to you in a hospital.
Oh, yeah.
You had no business even being in.
Oh, absolutely. And then all our family and everybody else, I mean, you know, your buddies are there and like, hey, man, you watch guard here. I got to use the bathroom. Okay. All right. I'll take this watch. And you're just staring at this hallway, hoping that none of these guys come through that might be their cousin or somebody that's really, you know, mad about it.
So what was you're going through this process, and obviously it's not on the forefront of what you're thinking, but the band is just starting to like have some things going.
Oh, it's always been like that.
We only laugh because he's fine. I mean, he's good.
Yeah.
But the band, you start to get a little tug on the rope, and then all of a sudden, it's three steps back.
That's been our whole life, man. You know, I think that's one thing, but never this bad, obviously. But we've never had, we've always almost had record deals, and we did get offered a record deal back in the day, and our manager and lawyer at the time screwed it up. You know, the only chance we had, and we've been so close so many times, and this was about to happen, and it never happened. But I think at this point, we were really like, we were in the right place. We had recorded the version of Carolina that everybody knows. So we knew we had that, you know, which was great. And we had the production deal, and we're coming back out here to, you know, Nashville. And it was all good, you know. And I think the cool thing was we had all these songs on Scott's computer, and I think I would go in there when he was, like, in the coma, and I'd play it, and I was like, we got to get back to Nashville. We got to make it. We got to go, because that was, like, the driving force behind what we needed to do.
You know, and just to just bow the end of this, just the Scott story up, like, he's playing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's good. I mean,
he's good.
I've seen him a bunch.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know unless you had told me that all of that, like, physically.
Yeah.
I don't see him and go, oh, that guy was shot and almost dead. Like, I assume good.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because in that, that happened in September. He came home. He had still open wounds when he came home. We had to do, like, double rehab to get him out of the hospital. Plus, when he got home, I was there, like, we got to get better and better because we got to go to Nashville. By that February, we did a showcase for Broken Bow. Where Scott literally had leg braces and had to hobble on stage. And we had to kind of hide how bad off he was to get the showcase done. But we did that, and then Benny was like, you guys passed the test. We want to give you guys a record deal.
Who owned Broken Bow at the time? Benny?
Benny Brown,
yeah.
So that was his thing, and so we got past the test, and that happened. And, yeah, Scott's had to rehab the whole time. And, I mean, he scarred up pretty bad. I mean, you know, they had to cut him top to bottom and in both his legs, obviously. But considering, I mean, you know, medicine's a miracle, man. Like, they Charlotte's Medical Center were on top of it. And
yeah, obviously, think about that cop, too, because I've been in the woods a lot and you hear a shot, and maybe you're not in the woods. You guys obviously aren't in the woods, but to know kind of where to go when you hear a shot, because that's, you hear a gunshot. It could be 360
yeah.
degree, unless he saw.
I'm not sure exactly how it went down. If somebody might have grabbed him. I you know, all that details, I never really got into that, but I do know he was right next door at a McDonald's, and I mean right next door to it, and I you know, the commotion that was happening elsewhere, I have no idea. I just know what's happening on inside the RV.
You been back to that place?
Hell no.
for multiple reasons?
Yeah.
Do you struggle with because I do for a couple things. I got jumped outside the station once too, but do you struggle with like seeing it over and over and over again?
When I talk about it, and it was very close, you know, when it happened, and it was so intense and everything, because all our family and friends were just all involved in helping us out and get through, and you know, everything just kind of went to this mode of like, you know, just everybody got real tight and all that. So, you know, yeah, you go over it and you just, I've that's probably the most detailed story I've told ever on radio. Cause you know, as soon as this happened, we got signed and we went out to radio. So I had to tell the story cause everybody's asking about it. And that, you know, I condensed it to a quick, you know, story kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, every time still, you know, if you talk about it, I had, yeah.
I had them. I still get them.
Well, I always have nightmares of people coming after me. It's terrible.
But you know what?
I don't know what that is.
But I do too. And I spent a lot of time in therapy for my incidents. Which
yeah.
Got gun, got jumped, had a bunch of death threats, had my house broken. And it just, you know, probably 10 or 11 incidents, right?
Damn, dude.
Well, it's okay, right? I mean, yeah, you know, it's part of it.
Got to mess with you though.
It heavily, and more so than I would even know, because mm-hmm. I would be in therapy, and when I would talk about them, fresh, like a fresh blanket was put over me again, and I would just go to sleep, and I would close my eyes, and I would, one of them would be recreated all the time, and I have nightmares still, and I've been working with a doctor on the right medicine for me, because I have nightmares that someone's always trying to break in and get me, but it's in the exact place that I'm always sleeping, so when I wake up, it's like I don't know if it's a dream or real. So I have to get up. And this is probably two or three nights a week still.
Wow.
I have to get up and walk around and touch things in my house with my hand to prove it's really? Real. And I've been on a lot of, when you talk about this story, like I empathize with the emotional part of it.
Yeah, but if you've had that happen to you that many times.
Dude, I mean, your brother got shot. You almost got, there's no comparison. They're just two situations that happened to us. And where the strength has come from me in it is that I can share it with people who have experienced similar things and they don't feel so alone and at times like something's wrong with me.
Yeah. I mean, guess what? It happens every day. Just, and you realize that when you're in there in the hospital. And then we were also in the hospital and you know, you get to know the families around you and you're like, you know, what are you in here for? You got in a car wreck or something? And they're like, they didn't make it. We're still here. It's like, wow. I guess it could be worse. You know, I always look at it that way most of the time. But, man, that's, you know, yeah, I mean, that ongoing thing is somebody's after you all the time. But I don't know if I've had that dream for a long time.
You ever been to a therapist?
Only time I've been is once when right after it happened, they were like, we saw this guy. You need to go see this guy, both y'all together. And it was he told us he was, he told us he came out of the closet. That's what he told him. He said, yeah, I'm a closet bass player. That's
Well, then automatically
you want to talk about music, you know what I mean?
Yeah, automatically you're like, well, I don't, this is not the safe place for me. You're trying to play bass in the band? What are you pitching a rep? That's weird.
But, you know, it was okay, you know, I got it. But no, I you know, probably should.
For me, it was more so, and I'll get off of it, but for me, more so, it was about knowing that all of these abnormal things happening to me were actually normal to be happening to me.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because you just feel like I'm kind of broken now.
Yeah.
And then you also, for me, there was also a guilt involved too. Like I'm struggling like this, but I didn't go serve in war.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going, agreed. I don't deserve to feel this bad and this sad. And I shouldn't talk about it because there are people that have served our country and seen their friends shot. And they've,
oh yeah.
But it's like I was saying, there's nothing's comparable. You're not supposed to compare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody reacts differently. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I've got, all four of us went through this thing together, so we all four have each other kind of to bounce stuff off of all the time. It's something, you know, I feel like, you know, been friends for forever. So
here's the thing. If I'm home and I'm in my own bed
it feels so good. I get good sleep. I feel better. And a big part of that is my Sleep Number bed. Like, that's how I know I'm home. I travel a lot. That's part of the deal with my job. But everybody doesn't have Sleep Numbers. I love my Sleep Number. My Sleep Number setting is 30. And it's all about the mattress for me and my mattress firmness. The Sleep Number 360 smart beds are so smart, they sense your every move. They automatically adjust to you, keeping you sleeping comfortably throughout the night. When you add a Flex Fit Smart adjustable base, you can also raise the head or foot of your bed for ultimate relaxation. Is your partner snoring? Well, there's an adjustment for that. And so many couples disagree on mattress firmness. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed lets you choose your ideal firmness on each side, so it's just right for both of you. There you go. Go in now, save up to $1,000 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds when you add a smart adjustable base, only for a limited time. Sleep Number is ranked number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power. For 2018 award information, jdpower.com. Sleepnumber.com/bones to find the store nearest you. Graduation season just around the corner. Turn to Job Genius for free advice on job searching, resume writing, interviewing, and tips to ace your first day on the job. Visit expresspros.com/jobgenius. Do that today or search Job Genius on YouTube. Let this educational video series be your guide to entering the workforce. Job Genius is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals, a leading staffing company that employs more than 500,000 people a year. Express offers good paying jobs and more than 85,000 companies, including roles such as customer service, sales, and accounting positions, as well as skilled labor jobs like drivers, forklift operators, welders, and CNC programmers. Apply now at expresspros.com and call your local office. You can even complete your application over the phone. An Express associate said, "Express is the best. I'd recommend it to everybody I know." When you apply for a job, you need a callback, a chance to interview. Don't do it alone. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express, and Express has thousands of open positions. Expresspros.com or on the Express Jobs app.
I tell you, when I saw you, we were in Bakersfield.
Bakersfield, yeah.
And I was so tired. I saw Matt. I had been doing Idol for a couple of days, and Matt was on the West Coast. He was doing some shows over there, and we were both walking back, and I was completely out of it. And I was like, "Hey, we talked for a minute." And I remember texting you after the show. I was like, "Dude, I was so tired. Dude, I don't know what I said.
I don't know how you. I don't have any idea how you keep up."
I was like, I was like, "Sorry if I was a complete douche or if I was speaking in French." But whenever you guys were playing, I went over and watched you guys for a little bit. And because I'm just a fan of you guys, you guys are so good live too. And so I went over and I watched you guys, and you were playing. I didn't know, this is my ignorance here, that you guys were doing that Dean Lewis song.
Yeah, yeah, man.
I just thought you were, honest to God, just thought you were covering, and I love that song.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's the pop-ish song from Dean Lewis. And my friend said, "I know you love her, but it's over, mate. It doesn't matter, put the phone away." And so I heard you guys doing it, and I was like, "Oh, that's a really cool cover that they're just doing here with the, you know, so."
Yeah.
And I was telling my manager, and I was like, "Damn, that's really cool." And I was like, "I really like those guys. I don't get to see them very often." Yeah. It seems like, listen, if there are a few people that are grinding, it's like you guys, me, and Low Cash. Like, we're the three that don't stop.
You're grinding. You grind us all out of the picture.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, I admire your hustle, man. And I think it's something we're both born with. You just can't not do it.
And she says, "Well, you know, that's a song. That's their, they've done that, a country version of that." And I was like, "What?" And so I take it and I play it. And I was like, "Holy crap, it's so good." I think I texted you that. I was like, "Dude, this song is so..." So here it is. This is Be All Right, you guys. And my friend said, "I know you love a man, but it's too late. It doesn't matter, put the phone away. It's never easy to walk away. Let her go. It'll be all right." So I asked to look back at all. I played it on the show this morning, too. I was just like, "Hey, everybody, you should hear
thank
this.
Thank you for that, man. That was awesome. Everybody in my camp, they lit up, man. It was great. But, yeah, it's just one of the songs we heard it, and I was like, man, it's Parma Lee song. Like, I know exactly how we could just do this. It'd be easy, you know. And we got with David Fanning, who produced was one of the producers on Feels Like Carolina album and a lot of other stuff Sunday morning. And we just went in the studio one day and, you know, just did our thing with it, laid it down. And it was cool because the label was just got fired up as soon as they heard it, and like more fired up than I've seen them in a long time. And even like my publishers, I didn't even write the song. I give it to my publishers, and he's jamming it in upstairs in Sony. I'm like, "Well, that's cool. I love it that people react to it, you know." And I you know, I could have never really put it all together. It just happened, and it's really cool, man. So yeah, the video just came out last week.
So is it? And I don't know if this thing is it the single.
Yeah.
Oh, it is? Oh, cool. Yeah. So I have no, I've been so disconnected on the new music part a bit. I listen to a lot of female artists because I'm in that trying to really pop, just get out of it.
Yeah. I listen a lot of pop too, man.
If I'm working out, I don't listen to anything but hip hop when I work out. Yeah. I try to work out to country music.
Yeah.
I gained 17 pounds. It wasn't a thing.
Yeah, what are you going to do? How are you going to work out to country music?
Yeah, you can't. I mean, I would get harassed by like the traditional. If there's anything I am, it's not traditional.
Yeah.
I was born in Arkansas. I'm a diehard country music fan, even historian. But that being said, I don't think my success comes from walking that you're supposed to be this country line.
Yeah, yeah.
And at first I was hated for it for years. I mean, you guys have dealt with this too.
Oh, yeah. We were just, you know, they were even kind of scared to put us out when we first came out. Like, you guys are like rock and roll. You're trying to do country. I'm like, dude, like I grew up on a farm picking cucumbers. And
like, don't tell me what I am.
Yeah, we all know. Like, you know, I grew up listening to Travis Tritt and Garth Brooks and also Allman Brothers and my dad.
And also Snoop.
Al Snoop, yeah.
And also
everything.
And that's what people think, that you should still live in like the 70s or 80s when the hard distribution mattered so much. Whenever you could only get tapes or CDs, and most of places in the Southeast, they had a bunch of country music.
Yeah.
And now, since it's all digital, it's all everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't afford to buy a CD. Like, if they were $15 back in the day and you get one song off the CD, you know, like now to have a playlist of songs that you. Like I heard you talking about, like when Napster came out, you could go get all these songs. You make your own CD up. Yeah. You don't have to wait and spend your money on this one.
You didn't have to spend your money at all. That's great.
That's good, right?
It's like, you close your eyes and play Letter Lottery. Okay.
We had LimeWire. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but I was scared of LimeWire.
Oh, you were?
Because Napster was legal.
I don't know if I ever used that. I just used LimeWire.
Napster was legal, and it was like in your face. Because they hadn't, it's still the Wild West to a point now, but it was. The internet was just so the Wild West.
Yeah.
And there were no laws, and it was like, here's Napster, and let's just see what happens. And, you know, I remember being so mad when Metallica was like, take down Napster. And I'm like, why? We got free music. This rules.
Great, right?
But then now as you're an adult and you create things, and like if I were to write a book, like if one of my books, if they would have said, we're just going to distribute this for free, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, you got to get paid, like, man. You put your work into it.
Right. Yeah. But with Napster, you just go, let's see what I hit. Okay, there's the letter F. I'll wake up with a whole new library of F songs that I will then see which ones I like and which ones I don't.
That's great.
But LimeWire was never legal. It was once they had kind of shut that down. And as much as I'm a rule breaker in some parts of my life,
can't do that.
I ain't trying to go to jail for downloading the Engelbert Humperdinck song,
None of the old, like, we used to use these PC programs to record with. None of that stuff was, like, they were all crack stuff. We had to somehow get it from a friend who had it and had the thing, you know. But that's what we had to do, you know.
Yeah, I do know. So everybody should, the videos should be all right too.
Yeah.
It's out. How do you get the, because when I would do music videos, they would say, here's 10 girls.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you like to come and make out with you? And I thought it was the coolest thing. And I was like, right. I mean, for her to make out with me. And then she did. And it was crazy.
Go, you know, we were in a mad dash because it all happened real quick. David Fanning, actually, him and his company Sick Entertainment produced that video as well, and we were down to the wire. We didn't realize if we were going to get to shoot the video. He'd already had the rented the stuff for the weekend, and it was like, if we can do this on Sunday, if you just got to let me know now, we got to find out. And so it was down to the wire, and he had some a couple girls. We really didn't have a lead necessarily, and I knew Haley was in our Close Your Eyes video, and we became friends, and so I was like, she'd be perfect for this, let me call her up. And so that was it. All just kind of happened. It really wasn't the whole process of let's go to the block agency.
Well, I mean, yeah,
you know, I mean, that's part process. Of fun of doing a video, you know.
It was the greatest fun I ever had is when they said, great. Whenever we did our like our first comedy record, our record label Black River was like, hey, we're gonna shoot this, we have to cast the girl that, and I was like, all right, and I had a song called If I Was Your Boyfriend. And I was like, well, who are you going to get? She goes, they're like, we'll send you like 20 girls and you can pick from them. And I was like, what? I was like, this is like the junior varsity version of The Bachelor. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Greatest job ever. When somebody says, hey, man, I need you to sit at your computer tonight. I'm going to send you a whole page of girls.
Yeah.
I
need you to pick one. You get to make out with whichever one over and over again. So, yeah, the video's up.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about the incredible work that's being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and to ask you today to join me in becoming a partner in hope. When you make a donation to St. Jude, you're helping an organization that has helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. And I can tell you from personal experience, that number and the hope that it brings is invaluable. Families do not have to worry about a thing. Treatment is covered, travel, housing, food. And when you're a family that's going through this, like imagine you're a parent, your kid gets cancer. You need to focus on that child. You don't need to be worrying about other things. And financial stuff can get really stressful. St. Jude covers it. Your support means families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment. And when you sign up for just $19 a month, you're going to get the new This Shirt Saves Lives tee. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
You know, something about you guys that is cool to me, because I'm a big Kevin Smith fan who created Mallrats and Chasing Amy. But with Clerks, he took and he put it all on his credit card.
Yeah.
Which is, he was like, it's the only way I could fund my art. Mm-hmm. Like, no one was giving me money.
Yeah.
So I just took and maxed out every credit card to make that movie. I assume you guys did that.
I think I had $50,000 at one point.
And credit card debt?
Credit card debt, yeah. And a 36% interest.
36%
on one of the cards.
That's a thing?
It was. When you get it like me. I mean, we financed everything on this band through my credit cards first, Scott's, and then parents would loan us money. Like I said, my mom loaned us, you know, like $11,000 on her house. She went and got a mortgage out. And I paid her back 10% interest and, you know, paid her off.
You paid your mom back with interest?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My uncle loaned us money to get Barry's dad to get the RV, all that happened in. And so, yeah, that was like, you know, we'll loan you $28,000 with the interest and we'll pay you back. And we did. I always paid everybody back, you know. But I did, was a, you know, when the thing hit in 2008, it was pretty bad. So I had to walk away after I remember borrowing $1,500 from my mom to pay off a credit card that was at like 30 some percent interest. And I was literally in tears. I was like, "Why? I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm out."
When Carolina hit, did you guys like financially do all right with that?
Oh yeah.
It kind of caught you up.
It did. Luckily we owned our publishing on that, and we were,
which is huge. Oh,
I mean, that's the reason we were able to, you know, put money down on our houses. And I bought my mom a car. Camry, you know, and bought my first vehicle pretty much. So just that and was a big deal. But yeah, I mean, you know, because you go from playing shows and all of a sudden you have your money doubles, triples, and then you have shows every, you know, four nights a week, five nights a week, if you can do it, you know. So it was definitely, that was a good hump. And Calling Your Mind did well for us too. So
yeah, which I think Calling Your Mind, what, top five?
Was number eight? Oh, it was four? 10, top 10.
It was a top 10?
Yeah. And
hey, turn that one up a little bit. You and me getting out of here and taking a drive. Just slide a little closer, put your head on my shoulder like this ain't our first time. Girl, don't worry about holding on tight, cause I'm already calling you mine. Close your eyes, how'd that one do?
Oh, it was great. It's like top three.
It's a bit...
They got played a lot, man. Still does. Still hear a lot.
Yeah, I like this one a lot.
I love the song.
I mean, I think this. I mean, this is probably my favorite song of you guys, regardless of chart positions. I think "Close Your Eyes" is probably my favorite song.
Yeah, I love that song, man.
Are there some nights you just are like, and I know you do it because of the people want to hear you play Carolina, but are you like, I'd be okay not playing Carolina tonight?
No, never. Because here's the thing, you know, we do a lot of our own headline, mostly our own headlining shows. We're playing 90 minutes, and those songs make it easy. They're you know, and every time I go into Carolina, I'm like, damn, like I need about five more of these like this, you know. And I'm really literally when you play songs that, you know, album tracks and stuff, and you break into Carolina, you're like, okay, I get it. I get why it is what it is. And Close Your Eyes is the same way. They make the set go, make it easy. Cause when I can get up there and play six singles in a row, do a 30-minute set, dude, it's golden, you know.
Where do you put Carolina? Let's talk about set list for a second, because, play Sunday Morning, by the way. Like, talk me through your set list. What are you going to, because the first spot and the last spot are the most valuable spots, but how do you do
I'll tell you what we've been doing recently, well, just this past week in California. We start with a new song called I Do If You Don't, which, It's a really cool new song we have. I love it, and the band loves it, and we have intro music going in that, you know. Then we go into Calling Your Mind, seamless, you know, keep energy up, and then...
Same key?
No.
Oh.
No. And here's the problem. Well, not the problem, is we have to switch guitars, because it's a one guitar, one's in standard, and one's half step down. But I have these Evertune systems on my guitars, which are awesome. So I can capo first fret, and then take it off, and it's in perfect tune. So I can just go right into...
Wow, really?
Oh, dude, these things are amazing.
I would never use that because I'm not even that good. I play like 13
You guys
chords.
Were great the other day, too, man. I mean, there was so many people singing all the songs. That's the first time I've seen you guys play. I mean, the band was amazing.
Oh, the band's really good. I'm the worst part of our band, and I'm the lead singer.
But you do good, though, man. Like,
I mean, just jump around, wave.
It's still it's
and the
good,
full
though.
Band thing is not even really my... That's not... It kind of morphed into that because people were going... Hey, if you can make it a bigger band, you should come play festivals and do big shows. And I was like, all right. But like Eddie and I were going out and doing a two-man music comedy tour, which is just so much more vibe, my vibe.
Yeah.
We get up there with our two guitars and I do a little stand-up and we play our funny song.
Okay.
And we're putting out a live record and we're putting out a song this week. But even that experience, like people, there's laughter.
Yeah.
It's like more like Adam Sandler, Flight of the Conchords. Like that's my type of vibe for music.
Gotcha.
But then we were like, why don't we go and play? And what I do is I just surround myself with really good people.
Yeah.
And like, I'll do the first song, I'll do the last song. And then the really good people do most of the middle stuff.
I gotcha.
And then I walk off and they're like, Bob, you were so good.
That's good.
Like, yeah. Thank you very much.
I was watching the crowd sing all the words but it's great. I mean, the outfits look great. I mean,
and I do that. Good, just man. I wear those outfits for the same reason I wear big glasses, just to camouflage the crap. You know what I mean?
It works, man. It's something that simple is like, but it works so well. The socks, jumpsuits, it's right, you know. Wow. And it's so simple. It's like, I wish we could do that.
Yeah, right. You guys have to look so cool.
I'm like, man, I'm like, all right, what are you wearing tonight? You're gonna wear those jeans? Well, I can't wear these jeans if you're gonna wear those jeans.
I mostly do it to disarm the audience who has no idea what's about to go on.
Yeah,
because when we walk out in Letterman sweaters and high socks, they're going, oh, well, these guys aren't super serious, so I shouldn't expect that from them.
Yeah.
But I surround myself with really, really, really good players and singers. But you know what? Our set list is just stupid. Yours starts with the new song.
So you start with the new song, second song, Calling Your Mind now. Go into I'll bring the music, kind of keep it all going. And then we do, I think we do Close Your Eyes. Because we do try to do like, you know, a song you know, a couple songs you might not know, a song you know, or a moment every three songs, some kind of moment. Going into, and then we do like Close Your Eyes and Day Drinking next to each other, which was really cool. Day Drinking just got picked up by Twisted Tea as the song for Twisted Tea. The
is Twisted Tea a rapper?
No, it's the drink. It's the
Twisted Tea.
Yeah, yo, that's like, my rapper.
Twisted Tea, a hip hop artist that I don't know about.
The Twisted Tea drink.
I don't even act like I know. I'm just like, I'm going to be honest with you. It's Twisted Tea on the rap caviar playlist, and I don't...
Maybe we should come out with Twisted Tea song.
So Twisted Tea is it like alcoholic
tea? Yeah, it's the alcoholic tea.
And they picked up
tea.
Day Drinking.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's really cool. They've used country songs. They used Summer on the Beach, and they used Little Big Town's Day Drinking, and then they picked ours up.
They picked up a second Day Drinking.
Yeah.
That's cool. Let me hear this. I don't hear any rapping. And that's cool, too, because I'm assuming... Did you guys write this one?
Yeah, man, I wrote it. It's a two-way.
Wow.
And we own the publishing on it. So, I mean, out of nowhere, like, you know, sometimes I think if you work hard and you just keep at it, some things like this happen, and it's a blessing, you know, when you've been down in the trenches and digging deep and things like this happen. But, yeah, that was pretty damn cool, and we're going to do some stuff with them, so...
I found that the trenches, because God knows we've both been in them, but they actually, regardless of your success, actually make you look out and acknowledge and appreciate other people in the trenches. I think that's why hustlers recognize hustlers.
Oh, absolutely, man.
Because you know what it is. And there's no part of me if like, today I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Maybe doing better tomorrow, maybe doing worse, but there's no part of me that's ever not going to have that Mountain Pine, Arkansas grit, where there's just nothing there, so you're surviving.
Yeah, and you're
you look out for other survivors.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I pull for the underdogs. It was why we know I think for both of us are anomalies in this field in some ways. You know, so I'm always cognitive of that and where we came from, and you know, driving. We used to be loggers, so you know, working for $325 a week sometimes. You know, just out there scuffling, driving an hour. I drove from back home to the airport yesterday, and I was on the same road that Scott and I used to drive. My dad, we used to all drive it going to work. And it's like, you know, you drive an hour and 15, 20 minutes to work one way. Work all day, you drive all the way back. We didn't have any air conditioning in the truck. You're making, you know, a little bit more minimal. All that stuff, if you don't let it stick with you, you won't appreciate anything. And I think for all of us, we really appreciate everything around us. And sometimes you got to kick yourself and say, hey, step back and look.
And it's good to have people that you trust to check you too.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like appreciation is such an undervalued commodity because – you know, I've often said, who'd you rather be, Prince Charles or Oprah, right? And I'd rather be Oprah, who it sucked for, but she actually knows how good she has it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the royal family, they don't.
They can
maybe see things. And I'll even equate to how much I don't know how good I have it at times. Even, and I grew up, and I felt like when I was growing up, I was super poor. And then I went to Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the orphanages and the people, and I went... Oh, no, I was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, we may have been on food stamps and had government cheese, but we got food stamps and government cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there's always that. I just think that appreciation, if you can find it, is so valuable. And sometimes we don't acknowledge it because we're idiots. And we're like, what's the next thing instead of going, I should appreciate this. And you can do both at the same time.
Yeah. And I think... Yeah. You don't want to think about it. You want to shut it out because it's, you know, when things are going good, you want to just, you know, you don't think about it, but you have to, man, because it'll always keep you in check. That's what I like about living out in the country. You know, it's like, those are kind of like the people I grew up with out where we live on the west side. Is you see everybody farming, working hard, stopping in the country store. And I'm like, you know, every time I see somebody pull up at the gas station with some steel toe boots and you could tell they've been working in the grease all day. I'm like, all right. You better, you know, just be thankful for where you're at now, and you know that you were that guy for a lot of years, and nothing wrong with that. But you got your shot to be able to ride your truck into town at 11 o'clock and go write songs now. So, you know, you need to do the best you can with it.
How far you live away from here?
Oh man, I'm close. I'm outside of Bellevue area.
You like it?
Oh, I love
it. Is Nashville home now?
Oh, it's been home, yeah.
Like, does it feel like home?
It does. It does. Especially out where we're at. We just have about 5 acres out in the countryside, right on the edge of the country. So, I mean, there's cows next door, that kind of stuff.
Who's we?
Well, with the band houses out there, my brother and I stay out at this farm area. And Barry's out here. He's got a house out. It's kind of like a hub. So we have our little Parmalee land out there where we rehearse and do all that stuff. But I love it downtown. I feel like, hey, we've been here, coming here since 2002. So, I mean, every time I drive in, I feel like, but there's so much going on. It's so hard to keep up with everything. It's like.
I used to live downtown.
You did?
Yeah, I had a place right on 4th Street in Nashville.
Oh, man.
Right. And it was a great place.
Yeah.
And it was hard. On the weekends, it would be tough, but I was touring every weekend doing stand-up or music, and I was just like, I was never home, so it didn't matter, but the rare weekend I would come home, it would be nuts. But I drove, and it was the top floor of this building, and it's a really nice place, but I was driving home one day, and there are just like these random fire trucks like on the way to my place. And I was like, that's weird, because it was right downtown and there was these humongous fire trucks. Oh, like, man. Something's not right. So I'm driving closer and I look, and I guess the restaurant in my mind had caught on fire below my place. And that's why the fire trucks were there. Yeah. And so I'm like, well, it sucks for that restaurant. Like, I wonder what's really going on. And I'm driving up and I see Mike D, who's producing this over there. And he's covered in water.
No way, man.
And he's like, hey, park your car over here. And these fire trucks are surrounding the building that my condo is in. And by the way, it was like a 7-story condo. It wasn't a gigantic one.
Yeah.
But it was a cool one. And I had basically the whole top floor. And he's covered in water. And he has my dog. And I'm like, huh. Something's not right about it. And still, it's not coming together. And he goes, dude, everything's flooded. And I was like, what? And he goes, everything. So apparently, a guy who was working on the top hit a water main.
No way.
Busted in the hallway, flooded every unit all the way down. And you had to go down the stairs, right?
Yeah, I went down the stairs.
Like, shut the elevators down.
Water down.
So he's walking to a waterfall with my dog.
It's just coming down the stairs the whole way down.
Did any of your stuff get messed up?
Well, so it happened on the top floor, and I lived on the top floor. So it went through mine to the side.
Okay.
And a lot of stuff in my room did, but the people, every level below me, it went in the living room. It went in. So I had this awesome place, and they were like, you have to move because we have to basically do millions of dollars renovations in the whole building.
Insurance claim. Woof.
Yeah, imagine. I had nothing to do with it. I was out. And so I went and I bought another house, but they rebuilt it. I still have it. I rent it out to like a ball player now.
Oh, cool.
Who, like a Titan. And my point was, I love living downtown too, until I don't love living downtown anymore because one, I got flooded, and then two, it's just exhausting.
Yeah. You got to be wide open. I know for you, especially with all you have going on, you probably need to come at least have a little place to chill.
Yeah. And I feel like I can chill here. It's pretty quiet.
It's a nice place, man.
I feel like it's pretty quiet where I live and pretty safe, but the downtown stuff's fun for a second.
Yeah. Every time we have family members or friends come in town, we have to do the downtown thing, and it's fun.
You have to do Broadway with out of towners because they want to see all the honky tonks.
You got to do it. The key to that is to do it early, like go day drinking. Get down there at 3. And then,
but will they do that? Will your family be like, oh, let's go see it on?
Yeah.
Most of my friends want to go at like 1 a.m.
Oh yeah, that's just tough. Then you do the Midtown thing. So you never know, you might see in here.
And on the weekend, you're really not going to see anybody. If this is for a PSA for anyone coming to town on a weekend. On a weekend, you probably won't see anyone that does country music because they're out on the road making their living on the weekends.
Yep.
Because a lot of people will come in or they'll direct message me and be like, hey, where do I see country stars on weekends? I'm like, well, look at their tour calendar.
And see, you're giving away the secrets, man.
And see what city they're in. But if you want to come on like a Tuesday or Wednesday.
Tuesdays.
Yeah, there's definitely more of... And it's also kind of a camaraderie thing because when I saw you out on the road, we're all shooting off everywhere all the time. You rarely see anyone else unless it's an award show, a charity event, or on the road.
Absolutely. And here, I did this last night. I went to some Gibson thing and ended up running into Brothers Osborne down at Red Door right afterwards, and a couple other buddies roll in, people you see on the road. You're exactly right, man. But I love the award show thing because you get to kind of hang with everybody. You never get to see because we're always gone, except for your buddies that you have that you're, everybody has their kind of group of friends to hang out with. So,
You have any other artist friends that are like your buds that you kind of came to town and you?
Yeah, Jake's probably one of our good friends. Jake is, and you know, we know. I know John Party. We cut up every time we hang out. Who else we came up with? Low Cash guys, friends with those guys. A lot of the people at the label, you know. Trying to think who else.
But if you have to stretch, they ain't that close.
Yeah, that's what I always say. Jake's our buddy.
If
we
you
go fishing.
Me like 5D, but
yeah. Nah.
Yeah, I mean, Jake's like one of my closest and worst friends at the same time.
I heard the fuck.
At the same time.
I listened to the second one. I didn't listen to the first one.
The first one's awkward as crap.
Is that one I got to listen to?
It's that one. We got into a fight. But when I moved to town, Jake was the first person that I kind of knew because we had mutual friends. Like Andy Roddick's one of my best friends, a tennis player.
Yeah.
And Marty. And Marty and Jake are really close.
Yeah.
And so he's like, hey, I had a friend here. You should just be friends with him. And so Jake and I are really close. But Jake's like me in that, you know, we're a bit moody.
Yeah. I can see that.
If we're both moody at the wrong way in the wrong time. But that being said, like if I needed a kidney, I'd probably call Jake and be like, yo, can I get one of these? Because I would, whatever he wants. Like, I help, you know, and he would do it for me too. But we also might shove each other. So, yeah, Jake's, that's my dude, man. Until he's not, then he's my dude again. Man, it's good to have you up. Thank you, man. I was sincere when with everything that I said. And I was like, hey, I want to have you up here. I want to have you up on the show. I really think that you got. And did you reach out to this guy, this Dean Lewis?
Yeah, we are. I think right now we actually met him when he came to town in Nashville. And so we're, you know.
He's got to be happy, right?
If
he wrote the song.
You know what's funny is that we had to change the lyrics because he says, mate. You're like, we had to change it to I Know You Never Love Him, Man, But It's Too Late. So we had to have permission.
So you got permission, but do you get any sort of writing
credit? No writing credits. But we had to have both the writers agree on lyric changes.
Was he one of the writers?
Yeah, he and one other guy. And the other guy immediately signed off. And because he knew, like, if this thing is a hit at country radio, like, you're about to make some change, you know. But it took like a month before he finally got in touch with him, and he okayed it and changed one thing. But when we met him, it was great. It's cool. I just, you know, he's probably riding in a bolt of lightning right now with international tour and all that stuff. So they probably don't understand how big it is if it is a country radio single. Like, it's a pretty big thing, you know.
It's weird that some artists, because they are so relentless in touring, that sometimes you don't even know how well your song is feeling because you're not watching it like everyone else is.
Yeah.
You're just kind of living it, and you may see some trickles.
Yeah,
but you're not exposed to the media because you're living. You're trying to build the media.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wild to not feel it until it's just almost all at once.
Yeah, and it's huge, and it's so big you don't even realize it, like because millions of people are hearing it.
And then you want it again. And then when it's gone, you're like, how do I get that back again?
Oh, God. It never stops, does it?
There he is. Matt, good to see you, bud.
Hey, good to see you, too. Thank you,
everybody, check out, check out Be All Right. And what's the radio plan with this?
We're waiting to get the ad day from the label, and that's probably when we're going to holler at Dean. So we can all, you know, but right now we're just waiting on that. But they told us beginning of summer, so.
Well, I do. I wouldn't say I liked it if I did.
Well,
trust
I appreciate
me.
It, man. We all love it. Our camp and the band and everything. It's been fun playing at shows. It's just such an easy song to do.
And it's not par. Listen, I may be saying it wrong. I say Parmalee.
Yeah, you're
right. You say Parmalee.
Well, Parmalee, yeah. Like Pamela Lee.
But do you get irritated when people say Parmalee? Or no, Parmalee.
Parmalee. Yeah.
Is it a little irritating?
Well, it takes time. I mean, if you look the spelling of the town, it's Parmelee. Nobody would ever know how to say that.
Parmalee.
Parmel, I don't know.
How would you like me to say it for now?
Parmalee.
Excuse me?
Parmalee.
That's how I do say it. Parmalee.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
say it again. Say it again.
Parmalee.
Okay, Parmalee. You want emphasis on the
Lee.
Lee.
Yeah.
Parmalee. It's like Amy, which says Saturday Night Live. She goes, Saturday Night Live.
And
I'm like,
does?
That's not how you say that.
Is that how she says it?
Yeah, and then she says that. How do you say the really famous taco place?
Taco Bell. Taco Bell.
You kind of go even. She goes, Taco Bell.
Taco Bell?
And I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Well, how do you say it?
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
But it's just emphasis, right. Parmalee. Hey, Parmalee.
What is that called? I was reading something about the up talk when somebody talks and they raise
like all the ends of their syllables have the up.
It's like kind of demeaning to somebody that's if they're talking to you.
Oh, I didn't know it was demeaning. I just thought it was annoying.
Annoying.
That and like when they do when they have vocal fry. You ever hear I just wanted to say I don't know many dudes who do that.
Fry,
but it's like everyone if you're going on Bachelor in Paradise, you must have vocal fry. Like that's on the resume.
But you know you got to be a little jealous because you know their voice is never going to give out because that's like the most relaxed your voice can always be.
Oh, it
if
is.
You can.
All right. Well, let's end this podcast. And what's your Instagram?
At Parmalee Music, man.
You
I just
you're not doing your
nah,
own.
Man.
That's why I asked.
I'm that guy, man. I focus on the band because I feel like I just have never been that. It's not embedded in me enough, I guess. But I just have fun with the band thing and kind of leave the personal thing. I even talked to our girl. I was like, you know, we got 100,000 followers. Should I get it? She's like, don't worry about it right now. I'm like. Just find me on the band page.
Do you want to sell tummy tea? Because if you do, you should get your own. Because they'll give you some money and you sell. What was it? Flat tummy tea?
Flat tummy tea? Oh, is that what's up?
Yeah, that's what people sell. It's all the Instagram influencers. Yeah, I don't.
Flat tummy tea.
There you go. Matt Thomas from Parmalee. There we go. Hey, good to see you, boy.
Hey, you too, man. Thanks.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.